I want to talk about the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about the rest that we find in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. Now, this is where the Lord is giving the commandments. And he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or made it a holy day. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk about rest in the Holy Ghost. If you need rest in your spirit tonight, I'm going to tell you it's in the Holy Ghost. It's in the Holy Ghost. And I know that sounds simplistic, but it's very powerful. It really, really is. All we need is the Lord in our lives. Whatever you're facing, the Lord has the answer. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. I ask you to anoint it to our hearts. I ask you to speak to us tonight. Lay your hand upon the rest of the service. Give you honor, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give him a hand clap of praise before we start tonight? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And I will try to make this as quick as possible and get everything in here. But I'm not going to make any promises here tonight. Amen. And we begin to go into this particular subject of the Sabbath day. I was looking at one of my relatives, and maybe he's listening tonight, and he made a comment about the Sabbath day, that we should observe the Sabbath day because it is in the Ten Commandments. There is a number of people in the land today that believe that we should worship on the Sabbath day and all of that. But what they fail to understand in the scriptures is that the Old Testament is a figure of things to come in the New Testament. Amen. It's like an image. Amen. The Bible calls it an image. If you hold your hand out over the seat or piece of paper that you have, you'll see the shadow of your hand. That will be the image, but that will not be the very substance of what you're talking about. You won't be able to tell if it's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, but you'll be able to tell that it's a hand. And the Old Testament is the very same way in that it is a shadow of things to come. And I'm going to prove that to us here tonight from the Word of God. And so from Genesis chapter 1, we have the days of creation in the Old Testament here. And it tells us what God did 6 days. And he made light and darkness. He made everything that is in 6 days. And I'm not going to get into the controversy of was it literally 6 days. I believe it was 6 days, amen, because it talks about the morning and the evening. You say, well, that's an awful lot to do in 6 days. Well, let me just tell you tonight, God was not really working that hard. Amen. Amen. When he put it all together, if he really put everything he's got into it, what a place it would be. Amen. But at the seventh day, the Bible says that he rested on the seventh day. And I began to look at that as a new convert. And I thought, well, God rested. God laid down and took a nap. And then I began to think about it. And I said, no, wait a minute. God is God. He doesn't have to fall asleep. He doesn't have to rejuvenate himself with sleep or anything along those lines. for he is God. And so we look at the seventh day. He worked for 6 days, Exodus 20 and verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. We've got to ask the question tonight, why? Why did God hallow the seventh day? Well, why didn't he hallow the other 6 days of creation? Why did he do it just on the seventh day? Well, to get a little deeper, actually a lot deeper into it, we've got to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And if you'll turn there with me tonight, we'll look at a few things here. Hebrews chapter 4 and starting with verse 1. And I want to read down through verse 10. Has somebody got that scripture for me tonight? You got that scripture, Brother Reed? Read for us, if you would. I appreciate that.
Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Okay, so he's talking about some folks here that approached him without faith. They did not believe. And he said, he swore in his wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So he connects the Old Testament building of the universe and all the things that are created here, and the Sabbath day where he finished at the beginning or the foundation of the world. Go ahead and read all the way down to verse 10 or through verse 10. All right, and so that's very powerful. We can get an awful lot from that, and we could study that all night here tonight. Hebrews is a very deep book in the New Testament. I love the book of Hebrews. It just lays it right out for you so you can understand it. And he's talking about rest, and it is the exact same word that is used in the Old Testament. I'm going to get to that here in just a minute. But I want to just dissect Hebrews chapter 4 just a little bit. And if you'll just take the time and help me and focus in here tonight, I believe that the Lord will speak to somebody about this rest that God has for us in the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Let's go back to that. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so Paul reminds them that the gospel was preached to all of Israel. It was preached through the Old Testament prophets. The word of God was given through Moses, and it was a foreshadowing of things that would come. And the Sabbath day was established in the Old Testament. It was very powerful. It was very strong. And so they received the Old Testament gospel. They were called the Old Testament church. And so they had an Old Testament gospel. Amen. And their deliverance came when the lamb was slain on Passover day. Amen. And they left Egypt and came through the water and were led by the fire and the cloud until they got to the promised land. What a beautiful story that is. And yet there is some contrasts here. The response of unbelief or faithlessness, and then there were those that had faith. Now, we've got to understand tonight that if we want to have the rest that God has for us, we've got to have faith. Well, praise the Lord. We've got to walk by faith. It's not going to come because of a super message that you hear, although the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it does a mighty work. I want you to know tonight that the dynamics of preaching are designed to save them that believe. And so we get to a place sometimes in our life when we're overwhelmed with this, that, and the other, and pandemics come and situations come, so many different things come upon us, and it's easy if you're not careful to say, this is just a man-made institution. This is not a spiritual church. But I want you to know that God filled us with the Holy Ghost. Anybody have the Holy Ghost tonight? God filled us with the Holy Ghost, so He saw something in us that is very good and very powerful and very beneficial to our world. Amen. And some believe through their faith, and then some cast it aside. And so one is benefited by the rest that God has, and the other one is not. I've seen this so many times over the years. I've seen the old saints of God that have been living for God for 50 or 60 years, that their life will preach a better message than any message you could ever hear over a pulpit. Praise God. And again, I'm not downplaying preaching at all. It's very essential. Without faith, we can't please God, and we can't have faith without preaching. And so it's very, very important. But I've often wondered over the years, people that have suffered great calamities, people like Sister Webb in Colorado Springs, whose husband does not serve the Lord, and I don't remember ever seeing him come to the house of God, but there was something about that lady. And I'm assuming that she's still alive, but she is getting frail over the years, of course. She was always happy, always reaching out to people, always bringing people to the house of God. You would never hear her complain and all of that. And I'll tell you what, she was an inspiration to me. I know of another lady on the East Coast, the very same thing. Her husband did not live for God, and she was faithful to the house of God. Did she have troubles? Yes, she had troubles, but there was something that she had that was above and beyond her troubles, and that was the rest of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Was not always striving with this, that, and the other, but found a place of peace and rest in the Holy Ghost. And that's what the Sabbath is all about, is about rest. Verse 3 and 4 of Hebrews chapter 4, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I've sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into his rest." I just got through reading that. Well, we got it twice. Praise God. The word rest, and this is what I wanted to get to a little bit tonight. The word rest here means a cessation of motion. The word cessation means to cease, or the ceasing or the stopping of motion or action of any kind, and applicable to any body or being, as rest from labor, rest from mental exertion. Rest of body or mind. A body is at rest when it ceases to move. The mind is at rest when it ceases to be disturbed or agitated. The sea is never at rest. as an opposite or as an example. It's always moving, it's always churning and so forth. And when I look at our world today, I see a world that is churning. I see the waves and the billows of sin. And I see people that are stirred up. Every time I look around, I see people that are angry, people that are protesting, people that are not happy with their life, and they want someone else to make them happy. They want laws to be passed that are going to make them happy. But listen to me tonight. There's no law that man can make that will supersede the law of God. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the land is not perfect, and it does not have the answer for every situation in your life. Praise God. But we're living in a world that is stirred up, a world that is not happy, and the reason is because our world does not have rest. Amen. There is no place of rest. There is no calmness. There is no peace. There is no ceasing of all of the activities. It just amazes me that there are people that are into this group and that group, and yet they say that we're crazy because we're in the group that we're in. Praise God. And many of them are radical, and they will go to great lengths to do their thing and reach their goals and promote their cause and all of that. And they'll go a long way out of their way to do that. Amen. But when it's all said and done, and they burn the buildings down, and they paint the sidewalks and the streets and all of that, when it's all said and done, they're not happy. Amen. When it's all said and done, there's no joy. But praise God, when you come to the house of God and God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you can leave the doors of the church with peace in your heart. Amen. Amen. You can leave here like you've had some rest. How many of you have ever come to church feeling really tired, and when it was all said and done, you left feeling regenerated? Amen. Look at that, everybody. And that's what it's all about, praise God. You're not going to find this in a political protest. You're not going to find this working for more money. You're not going to find this in material possessions. You're not going to find this in anything that you're searching for and looking for. Amen. There's only one place, and that is in the Sabbath. Amen. In a place and a time where you stop laboring, where you stop working. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about stopping working for God or any of that, but I'm talking about working and laboring in this world to reach something that you think is going to make you happy. But there's only one thing that's going to make us happy. Praise God. That's the Holy Ghost. And in truth, when you look at this, the definition of the word rest there, it really clarifies what the Lord did. The Lord didn't get a hammock somewhere between a couple of trees that he created and just kind of swung back and forth and put his hands behind his head and did that for a whole day and said, there, now I want everybody else to do that. No, in truth, what the Lord did was he stopped working. He stopped building. He stopped doing. And he ceased from working. And many things are accomplished when we work. But the most important thing is to take time to stop working. Amen. And I don't know about you, but the last few months have been a very challenge for me because those of you that know me know I like to work. And I like to stay busy, and I like to do things, but it is of necessity that I have stopped working some, amen, and I'll get to feeling good, and then I go outside and do some work, and I come in feeling horrible, amen. And, you know, some guys just never learn, amen. That's just what it's all about. Some guys just never learn. And I'm trying to learn the benefits, amen, of stopping for a while. And what we need is the understanding tonight of the benefits of stopping once in a while and praying through again to the Holy Ghost. Well, somebody ought to say amen to that. Amen. Because we can get caught up in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and that inward desire. It's mainly in us men. Mostly it's in us men. We gain our identity by our accomplishments. And a woman gains her identity by her home and her relationships. Amen. That's just the way it is. And so we think we're going to accomplish something, but as you get older and older, you realize, well, when I get it accomplished, then I can say, been there, done that. Amen. Now the thrill is gone, and it's not quite as exciting as we thought it would be. Amen. I wanted a tractor one time and finally got my tractor. And after I got it and I drove it around a little bit, I thought, well, it wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be. Amen. So I sold my tractor and then I bought another tractor and it didn't satisfy. And I bought another tractor. Amen. I know of one preacher that went out and bought him a backhoe and had some property where he lives, and every now and then just go out there and fire up the backhoe, dig a hole in the ground, and then bury it. Amen. Cover it back over. You know, it's just a guy thing. Praise the Lord. And I don't know if we could look at the Lord that way. I don't want to say anything that would be contrary to the Lord. But when he makes things that are going to last for eternity. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work. There's what it means to rest. He ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested, or he had ceased from all his work which God created and made. Amen. And so we can look at something here. If you go back and look over the days of creation, that will fit in with this. The first 6 days, the Bible says that the evening and the morning was the first day. And so it tells us there was a conclusion to that day. On the second day, on the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth day, it says, and the evening and the morning was the second day, the third, so on and so forth. But when we get to the seventh day, it doesn't say that. When we get to the seventh day, it does not say, and the evening and the morning were the seventh day. And that's because this Sabbath, or this seventh, the number seven in Scripture means fulfillment or completion or perfection. He made the seventh day a part of the law. He made the seventh day a part of the eternal things that he has for his people, an eternal rest. Praise God. There's no need tonight to be striving and struggling all the time. Not when the Lord has prepared a rest for us in this Holy Ghost experience. Somebody said amen. And so the seventh day is going to be an eternity without fruitless labor. Praise God. Think about that tonight. Amen. Going to be able to sit back and look at what we've accomplished in the 6 days, and it will last forever. So let's go back. Hebrews chapter 4, it says, I believe it's around verse 4 or 5, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing it therefore remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And so Paul establishes here the truth of what we have received from the Lord. Amen. We've been given, think about this now, we've been given an endless day of rest. A rest that will continue on. The first day of creation, it's over with. It's not going to come back again. Second day is over with. It's not going to come back again. But when he established the Sabbath day in the law, he established it forever. Praise God. And so whatever that rest does mean, and tonight it means the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to prove that to you before we finish tonight, it is something that's going to last for eternity. Praise God. I'm glad that we're not here just because he created the sea and the land, and we're just supposed to go through the motions generation after generation. I'm telling you, man does not know how to rule his own life. He does not know how to rule a country. He does not know what to do. But there is something that God created, praise God, that's going to last forever. Amen. And we're going to be with him for all of eternity, if we accept that Sabbath that he has for us. Somebody said amen. And so Paul establishes the truth of what we have received from the Lord. We've really been given an endless day of rest. And so in order to understand that, we don't need to be saying or teaching that we have to worship on the Sabbath day or the seventh. The seventh day in Scripture is actually Saturday, and some have criticized and said, well, it was the Catholics that changed it from Saturday to Sunday. And so because we worship on Sunday, it's a pagan worship, and so on and so forth. There are those in our town that say that. But the truth of the matter is it is not a matter of a day. It's a matter of an experience. Praise God. And the truth of it is we can live in the Sabbath day every day that we live. We don't have to wait for a day to worship God. And I'll go a step further tonight and say that if you believe that we have to worship on Saturday because it's in the Ten Commandments, and it is a literal thing and it's not a shadow of things to come, then you've got to accept the other parts of the law as well. And the Scripture says that when they instituted the Sabbath day, there was a man that picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. Read it. It's in there. And they went to Moses and they said, what do we do? He's violated the Sabbath day. And so they went to the Lord and the Lord said, stone him to death. And they stoned the man to death for violating the Sabbath day. And you say, well, that's pretty extreme. Well, here's what it really is a foreshadowing of, is that we can't mix our work with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We can't labor and have rest at the same time. If we're going to rest, we've got to rest. Amen. And we've got to take that holy thing that God gave to us in the Holy Ghost and cherish it and love it. I'm glad that we don't obey the Sabbath as they did in the Old Testament. Praise God. You'd rather have that. Amen. No, I'd rather not have that because I've picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. I've done other things on the Sabbath day. Amen, and I'm glad that I'm not stoned to death tonight. That was not a very pleasant thing to be stoned to death. Amen. And so Paul establishes this truth. Amen. Every day, literally, that we work. Now think about this tonight. Every day that we work, there's stress. How many is involved in stress when you go to work? Few of you. I know the rest of you just go bouncing into work, and it's so joyful and wonderful, and you just wish the day would last for 3 or 4 days before you got off. But when we work, there's stress, even if it's something that you enjoy. My pastor used to say that he read an article that said that there is as much stress as a great accomplishment as there is in a great loss or great failure. And when he told me that, I thought, you can't win for losing. Amen. There's no way that you're going to reach your goal of happiness because there's stress involved. And when you work, there's going to be disappointments. Amen. There's just going to be disappointments. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be many, many other such like things that you go through when you work. It's the nature of work. Amen. But God wanted us to cease from our labors, to cease from sin, to cease from the labor that we are laboring in this life at least once a week. Amen. And just come to worship the Lord and give God thanks. Amen. You can say amen to that tonight. But I'm glad tonight that I'm not a captive to this. Amen. It's a great thing to be able to get off and just stop. Amen. Somebody could say amen to that. Amen. It's great just to stop. It's great. I'm looking at these young people and they're waiting for the day that they're going to get off. And I was talking to Hunter before the service and he said they're going to be off. Once they get off around Thanksgiving or somewhere in that time frame, they don't have to go back till February something. And I looked at his dad and I said, boy, they got it rough, don't they? They've got it hard. Amen. But I got a feeling that they're not going to just lay around. They're going to be working. Amen. But it's wonderful to get a day off and just not have to worry about a thing. Praise God. You can sleep in till 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, praise God. Might as well smile. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And you know, we get up, we go to work, and we work all day, and then we punch the clock, so to speak, and when it's all done, we say we got that one behind us. Amen. But there's no true joy. There's satisfaction and fulfillment, but it's not something that lasts for eternity. And there is a permanent day for you and me. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. I appreciate y'all indulging me here tonight. Amen. This is important that we know this. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All right, that word rest there, if you look it up in the Greek, it is Sabbath. I will give you Sabbath. I will give you rest. If you come to me, I will help you to cease from your labors. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Doesn't feel like that sometimes, but if we could just look around, amen, if we could just look around. Gavin, come up here. This weighs 1,000 pounds. Hang on to it. It's over. Okay. Stand back up. It weighs 100 pounds. It's like a bale of hay. And he's going to work all day with that 100-pound weight on his shoulders or in his hands. But along comes the Lord. Hunter, come up here. Isaac, come up here. This is the Holy, not the Trinity. The duality. One of you get on one side and one of you get on the other side of him. He's got that burden on him, and what you're going to do is you're going to kind of get underneath it and pick it up and help him with it. Now, he can't see you. He doesn't know that you're there, but he's walking with the Lord, and when he walks with the Lord, now you can walk real easy, and everything's cool, and everybody says, how does he do that? Well, there's an invisible God. Amen. There's an invisible God that's in him that helps him. Thank you. Real powerful there. I'm glad these boys are not God. Amen. And so he poured out the Holy Ghost. And when he poured out the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, what they were literally experiencing on the day of Pentecost, which was the day of the giving of the law, or the day that God said you must obey the Sabbath day, Pentecost took place, and they received the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God for that. And so Pentecost is the celebration of the Sabbath. If you're looking for rest in your life, if you're looking for peace, if you're looking for an escape from depression and all the things of this world that are pressing upon you, I know it sounds so simplistic tonight, but you need the Holy Ghost in your life. If you're struggling with things that have happened in the past, just that word struggling right there means that you're laboring. And if you're laboring and you're stirred up in your mind and in your heart, and you really don't have any peace, I know people that are attempting to serve the Lord and they have nightmares, and it goes on year after year after year. I want you to know the Lord has something for us that can deliver us from that. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let's stand while we read this one. Paul writing to the Colossians, he says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon." And I could say it this way, respect of a holy day, or respect of the new moon, or of respect of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, which are a shadow of things to come. It's not the very thing, but it is a shadow of things to come. Here a little, there a little, the scripture says. And when you look at Sabbath, Psalm chapter 92 and verse 5, David wrote that when we come to the house of God, we need to worship the Lord. And Psalm 92 and verse 5, I believe it is, it starts out by saying a psalm on the Sabbath. Praise God. It was a song for the Sabbath. Amen. Yeah, we may come with our head down, but let's not leave with our heads down. Amen. We may feel low when we come, but when we pray and we worship in the Holy Ghost and we let God have His way, we can leave with a smile on our face. Amen. And the neighbors will say, "Something happened over there." Amen. I remember when we had the funeral for my wife. And I really don't like to make very many comments about that. But my cousins, all of my cousins were here. I was just overwhelmed that they came. And one of my cousins was, he's in business for himself. He owns some rental places and so forth, and has done very well. He was talking to one of his employees about me and about you, about the church. And he said, "I don't know about what those people have, but," he said, "one thing I do know, they're all happy." And that was at a funeral. Wait till we come to a resurrection service. Praise God. We're going to be swinging from the chandeliers. Amen. We don't know what's waiting for us. Somebody had a dream about Brother Carricker's dad when he passed away. And they said in the dream they saw him running through the gates into the city. That sounds just like Brother Carricker. He wouldn't do anything halfway. But if he was going to run, he'd run with all of his heart. And I could just see him running through the gates into the city of glory for all of eternity. Praise God. Praise God. He came to the Lord and had just come back from Vietnam. and saw all of that that went on over there in Vietnam, and had that PTSD, post-traumatic distress syndrome, or whatever it is, and had lots of troubles and so forth. When God filled him with the Holy Ghost, amen, the Lord delivered him of that, and he didn't have to deal with that anymore. That's what we're talking about tonight. It's not coming to church on a certain day, and that's the only day we can get something from God, but it's every day that we live. We are the temple. We come to the temple for worship and praise and deliverance. Amen. Let's just love him tonight.